Hey, everybody, to amazing guests, Libs of TikTok and Mike Cernovich join us. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com and subscribe to our podcast. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school chapter, start a college chapter at tpusa.com. tpusa.com is your place to start to help take back America. Go there right now. Get involved. Get engaged. Email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by my friends, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage, 888-888-1172 or andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is one of the most important people fighting for liberty and for the innocence of our children. She has done an amazing job to expose the degeneracy and the treachery of the left. You might know her on social media as Libs of TikTok. Taylor Lorenz tried to destroy her, and she's stronger than ever. And her story is a remarkable one. She reaches millions of people every single day just finding the videos of the groomers, of the predators, of the very bad people that are going after your children, the drag queens, the teachers, and she posts the videos as a way to educate you. And because of that, the left hates her. In fact, AOC mentioned her by name to try to get her kicked off Twitter. And she's a fabulous person, and she joins us now. Chaya Raichik, welcome to the program.
Hi, Charlie. It's so great to be here.
Thank you, and congratulations on all of your success. I want to go through your book, and I want to go through what you are working on. But why don't you tell our audience your story? It's a very interesting one.
So I started basically, I stumbled upon TikTok during COVID, and I noticed what was going on there, you know, with all of the activists and groomers and predators, and they were everywhere. They're in the classroom, they're in the medical industry, they're in every single institution. And these videos obviously shocked me, and I was like, I got to share this with more people. So I started sharing the videos to Twitter, and I made this account called Libs of TikTok. And the videos would get a lot of attention. They would go viral, and my account just exploded. I think Americans were just really shocked to see what was going on in a way that we've never seen before. And specifically within the schools, because we have this situation where, you know, Republicans are saying, you know, they're grooming kids in schools and they're indoctrinating them with LGBTQ plus whatever propaganda. They're teaching kids critical race theory. And the left says, no, it's not happening. You know, it's a conspiracy. You're a right wing conspiracy theorist. And then I was able to come with all of this really firsthand evidence of teachers themselves saying about how they're grooming kids and how they're teaching critical race theory. And I think that a lot of the work I've done has been able to disprove some of the lies that the left likes to push.
Yeah, and you've been incredibly effective. In fact, let's play cut 105. This is Yoel Roth and AOC. They deserve each other. Let's just put it that way. Dialoguing back and forth. AOC demanding that you're kicked off Twitter. Play cut 105.
Are you familiar with the account Libs of TikTok?
I have heard of it from the news, yes.
Mr. Roth, are you familiar with this account?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Are you aware from August 11th to August 16th, that account posted false information about Boston Children's Hospital, claiming that they were providing hysterectomies to children? And this account is still on that platform today, isn't it?
Regrettably, yes, it is.
Wait a second. They are performing mutilation surgeries. They've advertised it. Is that not right?
Exactly. And that's one of the other things is that the left likes to play this game where they're like, you know, this is not happening. There's no children are getting their body parts chopped off. And then I together with some others were able to come and show some evidence. And then, the only response they have is to censor because then, mm-hmm. you know, there's no one showing them that they're wrong. But, you know, I think I was one of the most censored Twitter accounts. I think I had 7 or 8 temporary suspensions. I was never permanently suspended. And it just shows how terrified they are of their own views and opinions, because they just don't hold up to scrutiny. And that's all I was doing.
Exactly.
I'm just showing them what's happening, what they themselves are saying, and they just can't tolerate it.
Yeah, when you expose a predator, they don't like it. There used to be a show, To Catch a Predator. Wasn't that a show on ABC? I think that was a show for a while.
People compare my account to that a lot.
Oh, is that right? That's very, I just came up with that right now, but it's certainly true. Okay, so I want to ask a question here about you personally. For a while, you were operating with anonymity and didn't put your name out there. I don't think you planned to eventually come out, but Taylor Lorenz kind of forced your hand. How has your life personally changed now that you no longer have to worry about being anonymous? Are you happier? Is it easier? Or do you miss the days of being anonymous?
Look, I'll be honest. I never expected for my name to be out there and my face. It's not something I ever planned for. I was sort of just, doing my account, I felt like I was doing a public service. And then I never expected the backlash I would get from the left and the eventual doxing. But I think that with everything in life, you can either rise to the occasion, or you can let it get you down. And I think that the reason they came after me was in the hopes to intimidate me into silence. And I was never going to let that happen, because I think this work is just too important. So, now that the situation happened, I was doxxed. There was nothing really I could do about it. I am learning to embrace it and live with it. And I think in the end, there is a little bit of a silver lining, because the whole point of Libs of TikTok is to show the American people what the far left agenda is, that they're coming after our children. And Taylor Lorenz gave me so much exposure. My following tripled in a matter of weeks. So, there is a silver lining in that. I think I'm much more effective now. So, it's not all bad, but it's definitely not something that I ever planned to do.
Yeah. And just for people in the audience that are not familiar, basically what the Libsic TikTok account became was a daily, sometimes hourly drumbeat of going through the social media application TikTok and just seeing all the trans posting in the genre of children, especially, and screen recording that and then just publicizing it. Is that a fair way to summarize basically the work that you did?
Yeah, pretty much. And then it expanded to beyond TikTok. I mean, I was taking Instagram reels and YouTube videos and screenshots from hospitals and schools' websites, but basically just showing people what the left is doing in their own words. So there's very minimal commentary.
This is not clandestine. This is not like you were hacking emails. This was all publicly available information. Just to respond really quick to AOC, turns out the Boston's Children's Hospital advertises medical mutilation of children. Play cut 58.
So most of the patients that we have in the GEMS clinic actually know their gender, usually around the age of puberty, but a good portion of children do know as early as seemingly from the womb, and they will usually express their gender identity as very young children, some as soon as they can talk. They might say phrases such as, I'm a girl, or I'm a boy, or I'm going to be a woman, or I'm going to be a mom. Kids know very, very early. So in the GEMS clinic, we see a variety of young children all the way down to ages 2 and 3, and usually up to the ages of 9.
Now, you've spent a fair amount of time on TikTok. Let me ask you a question in the minute and a half we have remaining in this segment. Do you think that the rising amount of kids identifying as trans is largely because of TikTok?
Yes, I think it is absolutely a social contagion, and I think TikTok is a big driver of that.
So about 45 seconds. Explain to the older listeners that might be skeptical of that why. They say, how could somebody become trans because of a social media app?
Well, the idea of TikTok is to target kids, right? You don't see really a lot of older people on it. It's very kid friendly. And the Chinese algorithm, they feed this stuff specifically to American kids. So they're feeding these trans activist content, telling kids, look, go on puberty blockers. You might be the opposite gender. Maybe you'll be happier. And I believe that it's a really sophisticated algorithm that's directly feeding this to our children.
That's exactly right. I just want everyone to understand. I mean, look, TikTok owned by the Chinese Communist Party. We have enough evidence for me to say this. I on good authority believe, and I think any rational person would, that the Chinese Communist Party military installations are programming the algorithm to make our children more likely to be trans, to try to get young men to be ashamed of their country. The CCP has a gateway into every single one of our kids via TikTok. Why are we putting up with that? That's a political question. We're going to answer that. I have such great respect for this guest, and we have another segment. By the way, she observes the Shabbos, which I have great respect for. I do as well. And she's an observant Jew. She's terrific. Her name is Chaya Rachik, and you might know her as Libs of TikTok. She has a book you guys should buy, by the way, called No More Secrets, The Candy Cavern. We're going to talk about that and the drama associated. She's special. The Lord has given us Libs of TikTok as a way to expose the evil darkness and the deeds and the misgivings. I don't know where we would be in the trans issue without the Libs of TikTok. We'd be on a lot of speculative ground and not as well informed. Look, are you concerned about the American K-12 education system? Are you worried about what your children and your grandchildren are learning or honestly not learning in school? If you answer yes, my friends at Hillsdale College have a free resource for you. Hillsdale College understands the importance of education to the future of our country. They're now offering 10 free print copies of their recent issue of Imprimis. It's titled Education as a Battleground, written by Hillsdale College President Larry P. Arnn. The special issue provides a factual account of the issues in the ongoing battle over education, explaining why parents and teachers, not unelected bureaucrats or activists, should guide what our children are learning. With Hillsdale College, you can make a difference in your community by distributing these copies of Imprimis at your church, local business, or even in your doctor's office. Do not miss this opportunity to arm yourself with the facts. Claim your 10 free copies of Education as a Battleground by visiting charlie4hillsdale.com. That's charlie4hillsdale.com. I love Hillsdale College. I'm an enthusiastic promoter of them. So check it out right now at charlie4hillsdale.com. In the era of mass censorship, ordinary but brave people have a lot of power. It's really an extraordinary thing. Literally billions of people, I don't want to say billions, hundreds of millions of people have seen the content from Libs of TikTok. Potentially billions. I don't want to exaggerate though. And Chaya Rachik has just been posting what's happening on TikTok. That shows that every one of you in this audience can make a difference. You just do the right thing and you do it boldly and you do it courageously. You can move the Overton window. We would not have the legislative action that we are seeing on the medical mutilation issue if it was not for Libs of TikTok. So Chaya, you have a new book out. Tell us about it. It's called No More Secrets. And also, it got protested. Tell us all about it.
Yes. So for the last 2 years, I've basically been exposing groomers and predators who are targeting our children. And then the pattern of a groomer who wants to prey on a kid is to cut out the parent, to isolate the child, to sever the parent-child relationship, and then to prey on the kid. So, you know, I was like, look, I've been exposing this for 2 years, and I think the time has come for me to actually put out a tool which could help parents and children to combat this and to help kids not fall into that trap. So I wrote a kid's book, No More Secrets. It's available on lottbook.com, but it basically teaches kids and parents. It strengthens the family unit and it helps create that trust between parents and kids. Where if there is a trusted adult who tells a child, you know, don't tell your parents this, we can keep this between us, this is a secret between us, the child should know that that is groomer behavior and this person could potentially be a predator. So I think it's a really valuable tool and I've gotten great feedback from it. And then this past week, I posted a story about how the Attorney General of New York, Letitia James, was going to be hosting a drag story hour, which has become super common across America. And I was like, you know, I should hold a counter story hour with something that isn't groomer material, right? So I was going to hold a story hour in New York City down the street from her story hour at the same time, reading my book. And then we hired some online security experts to sort of assess if there was any chatter about potential harmful actions by people who are opposed to me. And there was. So, you know, we got threats. We had people threatening to show up dressed inappropriately or try to distribute things to children inappropriately, and even cause damage and violence. So unfortunately, we had to cancel that.
We have an email here from one of our listeners saying, Charlie, my wife and I just turned off our 11-year-old granddaughter's phone. Okay, she's 11. She shouldn't have a phone. That's a separate issue. We provide to her because she started talking about maybe being bisexual and trans. Her mom then found TikTok on her phone. She gets it back if she passes some hurdles and strong parental control out on. Well, no, she shouldn't have the phone at all. But, Tri, can you just talk about, I mean, this is a social contagion. Parents need to be vigilant. I mean, if your kid has a phone, why even have TikTok on it at all? I mean, again, you can have a phone, just call only phones. When I mean not have a phone, not have a smartphone, that's what I mean, okay? But I grew up in a country where no one had cell phones when you were 12, and it was a great place to grow up, and I miss that country.
Same.
And it was freer, and it was happier, and it was more joyful. And yes, your parents weren't able to text you during class all the time, but people were safe, and you maybe had to just take care of yourself, and there wasn't like geolocation tracking at all times for the neuroticism out there. I mean, I got to be honest, Tri, like, what is wrong with these parents? Any parent out there that if your kid has TikTok, I doubt you're doing your job. I mean that as lovingly as possible, but you're a negligent parent. Do you agree?
I 100% agree. And it's not just TikTok. It's Instagram as well. I mean, I've been vocal about this before. I don't think kids, I probably wouldn't give my kid a smartphone until they were like 16, maybe even later. I mean, there's no need for it.
I think 18, but you're about right. Yeah.
18. but Instagram and TikTok specifically, the whole idea of it is, I mean, TikTok for sure is to sow division in America. Like we discussed this just earlier, like the Chinese created this to sow division in America and to confuse our children. They want American children to grow up, be confused about their identity.
That's exactly
it's
right.
Going to be a chaotic and disruptive society. And that's what the Chinese dream of.
They say it openly. I mean, they don't say it as bluntly as you. The Chinese Communist Party wants to take over the country, and they do it via TikTok. They're doing it via TikTok. It's the opium wars, but the opium, they're doing fentanyl too. The opium that they're putting, though, is a dopamine addiction, and then all of a sudden offering this trans lifestyle for these kids.
Yeah.
And it's sick. It is totally sick.
And
we need to do something about it. 10 seconds.
Just another interesting note is if you read stories of parents who were able to successfully remove their child from the trans cult, the first thing they say that they do is to remove all internet and remove social media, take away the phone. That's the first thing parents do.
Tri Arachik, lives a TikTok, a blessing from the Lord. More coming up later.
Thank you.
Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Just when you thought it couldn't get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. That's right, you heard me, MyPillow 2.0. When Mike Lindell, great American patriot, invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. But now 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes it even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has a patented adjustable fill on the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that is made with a temperature regulating thread. For exclusive listeners, the MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free offer with promo code Kirk and get your best sleep ever. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in America and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square to buy one and get one free offer. Enter promo code Kirk or call 800-875-0425 to get your MyPillow 2.0 now. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Check it out. Joining us now is the legendary Mike Cernovich. Cerno has some strong opinions on the DeSantis and Trump deal. Welcome back to the program. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, my thoughts are that I was surprised to see that Ron DeSantis and his team blew their moment to become head-to-head against a New York Soros district attorney, to elevate himself to a national profile, to rile up the fake news media and the regime propagandists. I think it was one of the most biggest missed opportunities of a political campaign season.
Tell me why. What should have been said? And do you think it kind of changed or put context into the 2024 race?
Right. What would you say is everything that Ron DeSantis said until the final paragraph? That was a killer statement. But you have to know, as you know, Charlie, if you're in media, how the videos are going to be clipped.
Yes.
You have to know what to take out. And that final paragraph is calling it a sideshow. I'm not going to get involved. I'm focusing on issues that matter. What in the world are you thinking? A sideshow? The selective prosecution and persecution of Americans happening when Dinesh D'Souza was wrongfully indicted.
Steve Bannon.
Yeah, Bannon. I was talking to Dinesh's daughter actually earlier today, and I was reminded of the Dinesh case, the Ricky Vaughn meme case.
Yep.
And you can always show an example of the left doing the same crime and not being prosecuted. So Hillary Clinton and the Steele dossier, she did bad business record keeping too, which is allegedly what Trump did. There's no investigation or indictment for her. So the fact that Governor DeSantis saw this as a Trump issue was huge mistake.
Why do you think that is? Do you think that it was just bad calculation, just, you know, getting bad advice, a chance to kind of get one up? I mean, you've been very positive on DeSantis up until this point.
Right. They're still in the policy wonk phase that the 2015-2016 election didn't put to bed the argument that you need to have a white paper. And, you know, so I'll give an example, not to throw shade on Shapiro. But Shapiro is articulating more like the Ron DeSantis argument, which is, well, technically he couldn't stop an extradition and Trump is going to surrender himself anyway. Therefore, why would you even get involved? Yeah, that's called legal formalism. That's called literalism. And that isn't how you win elections.
No, it's about attitude. You win an election, yeah, but with an attitude. People are voting right for an attitude, a spirit, a tone, a tenor, and a mantra, not specifics.
Right. Nobody cares about the weeds. Nobody cares. I get an example from the UFC. Ask a mixed martial arts fan or UFC fan, hey, what's Nate Diaz's record? No one cares. Everybody says he should have a title fight. Why? Because, you know, he shows up and he shows up to fight. Nobody cares if you lose, if you actually fight and you put on a good fight. People forget real quick. That's why the expression is always there's a belt holder and then there's the people's champion. And if you want to become the people's champion, then you have to be taking on fights that are valid and just and righteous. Moreover, DeSantis would have won this fight because the response to the legal formalism and literalism of the Shapiro types is, yeah, yes, I know this stuff too. I also went to law school. That's why you say you leave it open-ended on extradition, because Trump is going to surrender himself anyway. Everybody knows that anyway. So all that would have happened was DeSantis would have left it open. Well, we'll review things appropriately and we'll ensure that we're protecting the Constitution, protecting the rights of all Floridians. And then the media would go, oh, so you're not going to extradite. And you go, I never said that. And now it's you against the Soros DA. You, the one who strikes back against the Soros DA and the violent crimes that they allow. And Trump's going to go in anyway. So you don't even have to do anything. How do you miss that? So it's such a gimme.
Well, and it's also misreading the base, where Trump is still beloved by the base, even if people are annoyed with him and people are kind of like, oh, I wish he wouldn't do the name calling thing. There is a belief that he's kind of the patriarch of the conservative movement. You know, he's there. He's the top guy, where it's like, OK, he said some stuff, but he defended our country and he stepped up and he has an attitude of winning. And there is a belief amongst the vast majority of the base that Donald Trump has been mistreated for years. And they believe this to be another chapter in that. And they're not wrong. I mean, whether it be Russiagate, the two impeachments, spying on Trump, Zuckerboxes, Fauci and Burks lying to him, there has been a pretty reliable, I mean, not reliable, but pretty proven pattern that Trump has been poorly treated. And some people say, oh, he brought it upon himself. That's nonsense. No, the FBI should never spy on a sitting president and launch a coup to remove a president. I want to get your thoughts here, Cernovich, just from a messaging standpoint. I actually thought Ron DeSantis handled this question pretty well, pretty magnanimously, with Piers Morgan. Why he's sitting down with Piers Morgan to say that I could become president is a strange place to probe that out. But I actually thought he handled this part pretty well. Play cut 43.
What is your favourite nickname that Trump's given you so far? Is it Ron de Sanctimonious or Meatball Ron?
Well, I can't...
I think even he went off Meatball Ron.
I don't know how to spell de Sanctimonious. I don't really know what it means, but I kind of like it's long. It's got a lot of vowels. I mean, so we go with that. That's fine. You know, you can call me whatever you want. I mean, just as long as you also call me a winner.
Cerno, your reaction.
Right. Great clip. That's DeSantis at his best. That's why... Maybe I was over dramatic, but you guys know me by now. You guys know what you're getting. People know what they got to sign up for. And that's why I was saying I was heartbroken by the statement, because of course my texts were blown up because everybody knows my view on how critical I've been on a lot of the things Trump said. So everybody made sure that I saw the clip, my DMs, all my friends. Oh, have you seen this? Like, oh, great. What a way to wake up to. So I was heartbroken that DeSantis would have included that final paragraph and blown that moment so huge. Going on, Pierre's. I mean, the timing is really not good, but he's got to have his interviews. I don't knock him for that. I knock him for missing the plot here, which is the use of law enforcement to terrorize Americans. There's going to be 1,000 more people arrested because the new theory is that if you were even on the Capitol grounds, you were technically trespassing. This is Stalin level stuff, man.
Wait,
this isn't.
So yeah, I've read about this. This is interesting. Let's dive into that. There's a chapter 2 Dragnet that's about to be launched. Is that correct?
Yeah, this is flown totally under the radar because of the Trump.
Tell our audience about it.
Right. So they've, as we know, there were maybe 50 to 100 people who behaved like thugs and did what we don't do. We don't riot. We don't hit the police. This isn't us. 50 to 100 people did it. We all agree they had to face some kind of consequences, but they should be the same that Antifa faced. And probably half the people who were really violent were embeds, but a different issue. A bunch of people just went in, walking in, they didn't know what was going on. They just walked in the Capitol, they look around, they took some selfies. Well, those are trespassers and they've disrupted an official proceeding. The next dragnet is going to be the people that were outside. Right. So they got everybody who went inside. And the next theory is that if you were even on Capitol grounds, then you are in a restricted area and therefore you're going to be charged with violating a restricted area. That's
so
the next.
Where is
next.
This story coming from? I read it on a couple blogs that, let's just say, have a mixed track record of being accurate. I trust you, though, Mike. Where do you get where is this coming from?
Well, the Department of Justice sent a memo. The head prosecutor sent a memo to the judges saying that the D.C. courts and jails are going to be overwhelmed unless they manage the next dragnet properly. And they've said to expect at least another 1,000 indictments. And how many people were in the Capitol? They got most of the people into the Capitol. So I'm not saying they're getting everybody on the grass, but they're winnowing back now where, okay, we got as many people as we could who went into the Capitol, and now we're going to get the people who were outside of the Capitol. And they wanted everybody on the – they wanted 10,000 indictments, Charlie. I know that specifically based on sourcing, not from what I was reading these other things, which if you notice, I haven't linked to those sites either. So I'm basing that on – I know for a fact that they wanted to indict over 10,000 people, but that was seen as too much. So they're trying to move the line back from, okay, well, they didn't go into the Capitol, but they were on the Capitol steps. So we're going to move the line back as far as we possibly can. That, and that's, again – you can read between the lines when the U.S. attorney is telling the judges, be prepared for another 1,000. It's coming.
I mean, and this is why violent crime is going up dramatically in our country. And so that's an interesting connection. So basically what you're saying is the theme of the Stalinistic chapter that is growing, DeSantis kind of acted as if this was some kind of a wonky, like, civil settlement, kept on kind of going to, like, oh, porn star payment. Kind of missing, I mean, the metaphorical forest from the trees. It's so cliche to say that, but boy, is it true. It's like, no, you don't understand. Like, this is the night of the long lives, night of the long knives in kind of Nazi times, where they're coming after anybody that's a political dissident. And we were looking for a moment where someone would lean in and say, no, you have to go through me first.
Yeah, you have to understand that that's the most significant issue facing the country right now is the anarcho-tyranny. The fact that, you know, we all saw that video yesterday, that you can be a psychopath on a train harassing people, terrorizing people, and law-abiding citizens know, oh, if I actually defend myself or my family, a Soros DA will indict me. That bodega guy got indicted. If that bodega, remember that bodega owner, Jose?
No. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, he did the right thing. because the guy came with a knife or something, if I remember correctly, and he defended himself. It was this whole thing. If it wasn't for public outrage, he would have went to jail.
And if the bodega owner had been a white man, he would have
still be. The fact that he was Central American or of Latino descent, I think, helped him, actually, in that case. Praise God he got off, because I don't remember all the specifics, but actually he was the owner, and then I think a black criminal came in to rob him, and then he defended himself, and then they go after, they make him the enemy. Is that right? Something of that nature.
And that's the sad, tragic issue of the Soros DAs too, is everybody knows now that it's racialized. Where before the Soros DAs came in, you would just say a criminal came in, a man defended himself, and nothing happened because the man defended himself.
I said that intentionally because it actually factored into the decision. I don't like talking about race, nor do you, but that unfortunately was part of the recipe of why they went after the bodega owner.
And why the bodega owner wasn't prosecuted.
Yes.
That, because they were going to get him. And then they said, oh, I guess we don't have him now. There's that infamous case where that drill sergeant was trying to protect his neighborhood from some guy who would show up and apparently had two previous police contacts. That guy's whole life was destroyed. And if you Google the story, Sergeant First Class, I forget his last name. But if you Google the story, the entitled media framing of it is white man, black teenager.
So, Mike, you said, quote, if DeSantis should not even bother running if Trump is arrested. Can you elaborate on that just briefly?
DeSantis is an incredibly popular, successful, accomplished governor, running things, laying a blueprint that every governor could follow. The only criticism I have of Youngkin and Abbott in Texas is that they're not running the same playbook as DeSantis, which is a winning thing. So why bloody your nose if you're not going to win, right? Why get in there and potentially damage your reputation, maybe risk a primary challenger in your next election when you can be America's governor, where you can be the most popular governor in the country, where you can have historical impact on the world? Why leave that gig when an indicted Trump, especially if the charges are what they appear to be and such ridiculous nonsense, a paperwork error. So you made a paperwork error. Misdemeanor, but we're going to turn that to a felony. What a joke. So how do you win? How do you beat Trump if you do that, right? That's what you have to ask yourself. If you're going to run the primary, you run for two reasons, right? One is you don't have a name and you want to have a name. That's the why GOP primaries have always been 17 people, 20 people. It's an audition for a Fox News position. That's why my company.
That's exactly right. Yes. And a way to get a book deal and actually kind of live in above a lifestyle you otherwise wouldn't be able to afford, go to nice places and, you know, be applauded and talk to people. And who knows what comes out of that, right? It's like a cottage industry, basically.
Yeah. So that's why Pompeo's running, Nikki Haley's running. These people, they're jokes. They don't have any kind of chance. So you run if you want to do that. Well, DeSantis's book sold really well. And I know a lot of the people on Twitter wrongfully are claiming that there were shenanigans with that. There's not. DeSantis is a very popular governor.
He is.
I want MAGA. Just like I know a lot of DeSantis people are mad at me because I say things that they don't like and I don't care.
Whatever, just tell the truth. I mean, yeah, I get it from both sides. I've endorsed Trump in 2024, but I love DeSantis. And you just got to tell the truth. Keep going.
Right. So DeSantis is popular. He's got the book deal. He's America's governor. He's on the speaking tour for the rest of his life. He's set. He doesn't need to run so that he can build his name like Mike Pompeo. He needs to run if he's going to win. So then you have to ask yourself, what's my path to victory when Trump is being indicted, which everyone knows from social psychology, that when you're attacked in that manner, your support becomes stronger. This is where most conservatives failed by not understanding the topics that you and I mentioned earlier. It's a vibe, it's energy.
That's right. It's an attitude. It's a spirit. It's in some ways, it's a lot more pathos and ethos than it is logos, right?
100%. Logos matters way less than the feeling of the crowd. So you know from social psychology that the more you're attacked, the more people love you, the more beloved you become. So the DeSantis people, here's where they're blowing it too, because you're listening to the Paul Ryan types. If you actually look at the election the way you have, the way smart people have, you would say Trump won a very close election in 2016, 80,000 votes, 4 states. He lost an election, if he really lost it, by 40 or 50,000 votes. In 3 states. So if he lost it, then barely. So then why would you think the play is to throw shade at Trump, right? Why would you think that? You would just look at the math and say, wow, Trump's only weakness is what people like Mike Servant says, which is we want somebody who is going to be more interested in pulling the levers of power. And yes, a lot of people like Cernovich feel like Trump didn't really do that, that he went on these side quests with Kim Kardashian and rappers and the Platinum Plan and all these other little things instead of sticking to the main quest of the wall and other issues. So maybe we should listen to Cernovich and say the only way that we can win versus Trump in a primary is to be to Trump's right. No, actually, we're more right-wing than Trump, and we're going to do things. And look, I can show you my track record of doing things. Then you have people interested, right?
Yeah, and, what he's doing now, the attack vectors, especially if DeSantis were to run, would be on the vaccine and personnel. Those, and hey, you actually weren't as based as you might have said. I think that is not the best attack, because he did do a lot of stuff that was unprecedented and courageous. But there is a potential, like, hey, the why didn't you do? And it's, again, it's Monday morning quarterbacking. I don't think it's fair at all, but I think it could be politically interesting to see. But that doesn't seem like it's the lane. It seems like kind of a hybrid of talking good to conservative-based policies with a lot of kind of donor wishes. Is that right? That kind of seems to be the lane, and that's not going to be successful.
Yeah, it's a little haughtiness. That was, again, that last paragraph. The vibe was, I'm above this dispute. I'm above this, and Trump shouldn't be fornicating with porn stars allegedly anyway. And I'm so, okay, bro, that's, you missed the memo, man. You've lost the plot. That isn't what's going to beat Trump in a primary.
It's the vibe. It's the spirit. It's the attitude. It's hard to articulate, but Mike, you and I have been doing this. I mean, since Trump went down the escalator, you and I have been front row now for 8 years, and it's a force greater than sometimes words can describe. God bless you, Mike. You're a great American. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.